Welcome to the Media Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebunker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
Happy Friday, Kenton.
To you too. Happy St. Patrick's Day, I believe. Is today St. Patrick's Day?
No, I think that's the weekend. That's on Sunday.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, today's the 15th. Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, and it's going to be a madhouse, and I'm not going anywhere near any type of pub.
It is St. Patrick's Day because you have to start drinking on the Friday. We all know that.
Oh, well, yeah, you know that's happening too, for sure. Yeah. The people are definitely starting celebrations early because it's falling out the beginning of a weekend, and they're just going to make it a whole thing. I've been watching Happy Days, Kenton. You know that. I've been telling you about Happy Days, and it's interesting. It came upon the well-known episode. It's the Jumping the Shark episode. Yeah. It's Hollywood Part 3 is actually the name of the episode. One thing I'll say about the Happy Day episodes is they're really named poorly. It does kind of give an idea of what the episode's about, but a lot of them don't. And a lot of them are very confusing and misleading. Anyway, so this is the episode where, like, the phrase jump the shark has come to be known as a point at which a TV show or series gets bad. It starts doing things to try and keep viewership, but those things are gimmicky and seen as such, and people start losing interest because of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so the jumping the shark moment for Happy Days, I don't know if anybody really saw it that way until this person in the 90s came up with the phrase jump the shark to refer to that, and then started, you know, popularizing it. What was the point of all this? But I felt it to be a pretty good episode. Like, honestly, don't think it's a bad episode of Happy Days. I saw one review online that was scathing. It's just awful, and the situation is ridiculous. Completely out of character for Fonzie. I'm like, no, it isn't. He jumps shit all the time. That's what Fonzie does, right?
I think it's because the garbage can episode or the whatever.
He jumps 14 episode. Garbage cans,
Right, because of that, you're like, okay, we're past that. He did his trick, and then he continues to jump things, and then you start to wonder, like, what are they going to have him jump? And I think that's where Jump the Shark came in. It's just too close to the other thing, that the stunt they already did.
But they did that a couple of seasons ago. Yes, it was like, right. And I'm watching in order, right? And I'll say this. When I prefer the first couple of seasons when it was done before they switched to the live studio audience. I really think those are great episodes, and it really shows like how amazing that show could have been without the other stuff. But they did change it, and so in season 3 it starts becoming like filmed in front of a live studio audience. We're staging it. We're fumbling the lines a bit, and it's not as perfect as it could have been. But the Jump the Shark episode I felt was pretty good, and it still continues to be good. Like, it's not like the Happy Days episodes are getting worse. Yesterday was an episode where Fonz gets his tonsils out and has to like manage these kids. He's in the hospital with these kids, and it's Halloween, and he wants to go and use a trick.
I remember that.
That's fun. It's a fun episode. So it's season 5 is pretty good. So the episodes are not getting immediately worse for Happy Days, but I expect that to start shortly after Richie Cunningham leaves. Probably is when it starts getting bad.
Oh, that's terrible. What year when Fonzie has a girlfriend who has a child from a previous marriage? That's where things are just, you're like, what? this is everything the Fonz is against. You can't have this. But I was going to ask you, is this? Okay, when are we at the height of Fonz's popularity? Like, are people screaming when he walks in at this point, or is that later? Yes.
No, that's this. Well, season 3 is when they started that, right? That's when they switched to the audience, and that's when they have the live audience and Fonzie. And they were going to, I was just finished reading Being Henry, Henry Winkler's autobiography, and he talked about them wanting to change it to Fonzie's Happy Days. They approached him with that, and he said no. And so they were like, they really wanted to go all in on the Fonzie thing. And that started like season 3. And so after that, every episode got Fonzie way more involved. Like, he was really a side character before that. For the first 2 seasons, he's just kind of, every once in a while he'll pop in. He's like Al, at that time it was Arnold. Oh no, Arnold wasn't even around then. Arnold's only around for 1 season. I really liked Arnold. Pat Morita's really good.
Yeah, love Pat Morita in there. And although I have to say, I Big Al, there, I got a soft spot for Big Al as well. Yeah. With his yeah routine, which is always funny. But I actually remember one of my first memories of school was I overheard a kid say, Fonzie jumping garbage cans. I still remember that. I remember going, what the hell is that kid talking about? Like, what is Fonzie? Like, what does that even mean? Fonzie jumping garbage cans. And then shortly thereafter, probably weeks after, I caught up with the show. And at that point, they were airing them like new Happy Days. They were new Happy Days episodes. And I don't think, like, the star power of Henry Winkler and that character of the Fonz, like, I had a t-shirt with the Fonz on it. I had the action figure. Like, just I would put him on the Evel Knievel bike mm-hmm. to jump things, because that's what he did on the show, like sharks, to get him to jump sharks.
Well, I think
he was huge. It was like the yes. biggest star of the day. Like, I don't yes. think people can under pre-internet. I don't know that level of fame would even be possible on a TV show, on a sitcom, essentially.
And to have that happen on his very first major yeah. main role, like, he had a couple of guest stars, but that's his first real job in Hollywood, yeah. a regular job, and to have him shoot to stardom like that. We will talk about actually TikTok. That's what we're going to talk about today. I got yeah. us on a Happy Days tangent.
No, I love talking about Happy Days. It's so one of my fun. Favorite topics. Yeah.
Should I buy? I've got seasons 1 through 6 on DVD. Yeah. Should I buy the rest of them?
I would say finish those seasons first, because that's, like, if it ends weak there, you know it's going to be, like, when Coach
True.
Has Coach doesn't show up probably till after that, right? All of that horrible cast.
Is that Jefferson Darcy? Is that that guy?
Who's that guy? I don't know. I don't know who plays the coach. I don't remember.
The guy from Lifeboat and Love Boat and Married with Children, just Jefferson Darcy. I can't remember the guy's real name.
Oh, I believe that's him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's him. And then they introduce new young characters. Because
Chachi just showed up. Chachi is new this season, so that's a new character. He's not too bad.
There's even a watered-down Chachi later on, like, with a half shirt on. Like, they're like, well, those characters are gone, so we need, like, new young characters. And then they bring in a young woman, and I don't remember, Jenny Piccolo, and then Jenny Piccolo is now the star of the show. Basically, it becomes Jenny Piccolo's Happy Days at a certain point.
So it just feels like gimmicky. That's, yes. I guess, at the beginning right. of Jumping the Shark was the first gimmick like that to try and get people to watch.
Yeah.
And I mean, the way Henry Winkler describes it in his book, he's like, it's been used to describe the downfall of a series, but Happy Days went on to 5 more seasons. Yeah. Like, yeah, but were they all good seasons? I don't know. Anyway.
No, the last ones were so ridiculously bad. They were almost, maybe you should get it, but they're entertaining in their own terrible way. Because once again, like, right now, everybody keeps saying we don't know what the end of an online influencer's career looks like, because we've never seen it until now. We're starting to see the people age up and see, like, what kind of casualties they become. And we'd never seen a show go that long. So we kind of didn't know, like, where might that go? And and they really plumbed the depths of what you need to do to breathe life into a show. And now we know what a desperate, terrible show looks like now. But when it was the first desperate, terrible show, I think people were just confused. I think they just thought, well, it says Happy Days, and I don't know, I don't know who these characters are. It says Disney World, but there's no rides and there's no animals, there's nothing. But it says Disney World, so we must be where we wanted to go. But I love Happy Days. I love Henry Winkler and that whole cast. I mean, and Ralph Mouth is actually funny. And
he's hilarious. He's my favorite character.
Yes, he's so funny. And then Potsy, like that whole gang. That's a great little gang that they've got.
The best joke in Happy Days, the best running joke, is that Potsy's dad hates him.
Right.
Potsy's father fucking can't stand him. They just moved out. I just got the episode where Richie and them moved out, and Richie went back because he couldn't stand living with those guys. But Potsy and Ralph are staying moved out, and Potsy's like, my dad will pay to keep me out.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Fucking hates him. It's like, oh, so dark, and yet it's hilarious.
But it isn't dark. It's not dark because when you were a kid, there was always like a kid talking about how his parents hated him, wanted him out, because at that point, it was more affordable for young people to move out. And so it was far more of an option. And I think parents were much more like, I don't know why I had you. I think there's a lot of more of that kind of discussion than there is now. Right. I don't know why I had you, or I don't know, like, et cetera. I remember, hey dad, could I borrow $5? No, I'm broke because I had you. That's what I always remember. The punchline always was an insult to you.
Right.
No,
right.
Because you blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Is the end of all of that stuff. Okay, but I love it. Changed. I like. Maybe I should rewatch that show.
I'll give you the DVDs. After I'm done, I'll be giving the DVDs for you. So you go.
I will.
You
have a DVD player? Well, I've got my Xbox that plays them.
Oh, yeah.
And, there you go. I got something. I'll have something here that plays DVDs, I'm sure.
All right. Okay, let's talk about TikTok. It's been all over the news this week. TikTok is getting banned again, I guess. It's like the third time I feel like we've been threatened with the banning of TikTok. Yeah. I got a flurry of messages from my American TikTok friends. Follow me on Instagram. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to follow you on Instagram. I'm not going anywhere else. And if TikTok does get shut down, which I don't think is going to happen, I'm not changing anything I'm doing. I'm still going to be. It's funny. One person said to me on TikTok, you know, the Americans represent 10% of their user base. So do they even need Americans? I mean, probably not. They could just, the rest of the world can use it and the Americans miss out on TikTok. That could be what happens here. But let's talk about what actually happened. So they voted. So the US Congress voted. I mean, not unanimously, but pretty close. Like they're all united. It's a bipartisan bill, and they're so proud of their bipartisan bills because they can get something done. But they voted unanimously to ban TikTok unless their company divests into a non-Chinese, like ByteDance is a Chinese company, and they have to turn over their data to the Chinese government, which is why everyone's like getting worked up about that. I'm just like, I don't know. Seems like fear-mongering to me, and I don't like that. It's like, are they going to do this? Probably not. It's not like whatever they're saying is going to happen is not going to happen.
I mean, it's the same thing we were talking about with X when and it felt by one of the greatest days in social media was everybody leaving X to go to Threads to just go to tell, like, it's like telling Donald Trump, we don't like you. When you tell Elon Musk, we don't like you. We're going over here. We're going to the copy of your site. And that was a fun day. But you know, in the end, is Mark Zuckerberg any better than Elon Musk? And they're all dealers in data. Amazon's no different. Like, and just buying things on Amazon is like using social media for all the data that Amazon gets. Using an Apple phone, using Google anything, they all have your data. And it's for marketing. They're all going to market at you. And we all know it. That's what we traded. We traded our privacy for that. So to be able to use everything for free. And we didn't do that for newspapers, which is why they're going out of business, right? We decided that where we want to give our data, and they're all different degrees of bad, but we've all different degrees of agreed.
Yeah, it's tough to, and there's, of course, the other people who are saying that it's just the Americans wanting to control the narrative and control, it's a foreign controlled app, so they don't want people learning or talking to other people about things, and it's like just a way of kind of controlling the information. I don't know about that. I just think they're not really being smart about it, and they're just letting the fear-mongering work, I think is what's happening to the actual politicians voting on this. Because it very much seems like the American public is against it. Like, you know, overwhelmingly people are saying, no, don't do this. This is stupid. We want to use this. We don't believe it's a threat, that kind of stuff. And they're just not buying what the government's saying. So it's a weird situation to be in. But what do you think? Do you think it's going to get shut down, or what do you think is going to happen here?
No, I don't think so. No? I think, and if it does, like, you know, anything's possible. You always have to start with that. Anything's possible. But I really don't think it will. I just think, like, you can do any I think a lot of these senators and congressmen are famous for not having a damn clue what they're talking about when it comes to tech.
Yeah, it's always fun to see these clips coming from these hearings, and they have no clue what they're talking about. You can tell they've never used this app before.
Yeah. And they're reading like, I'm being told that the kids are doing the mashed potato on the TikTok. And it's like some Southern senator who's just, you know, and you're just, oh God. And do you remember John McCain? I did a Google. I did a Google, he said.
Yes.
I did a Google. Kind of owned it though. I'm hip, I'm cool, I did a Google. Like he sort of had that moment. And so you get these people who don't really know, but they do know how to court public favor and how to get people, you know, get people riled up or create, we have all these problems. Look at this problem instead, like the old shell game where you want them to concentrate on something else that's less important than the real thing they should be concentrating on. So I think, I don't think it'll get banned. I just think it's a lot of making noise at this point. And I think if it did get banned, it would be interesting because the kids would lose their minds. The kids would go,
Well, I feel like people would get over it and move on to something else, or something will come on to replace it. But also, I feel like it's there's going to be some American company swooping in here to buy it, to buy this, buy TikTok. And it might be Meta, and this might be an excuse for Meta to come in and buy this. And they probably just want it because they want access to the algorithm. TikTok has the best algorithm of all these platforms. That's what it's got going for it. That's why people don't want to leave it, because it's finally figured out how to make these posts all show up in a way that we like, that we see stuff that's cool and interesting. Not too many ads yet. We'll see how long that lasts. But it seems to be not too obtrusive with the ads. And it's just like they Facebook wants to buy that, or an American tech company wants to buy that. And I think that they're setting this up. So they have, they're probably paying more than it's worth to make up for it. So ByteDance can take that and not have a loss.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be, they're going to make them buy it. And that way it'll be an American company, and it will get shittier. It will absolutely get shittier, because it's going to be a different company, different people making the decisions, and it's just not going to be as good as it once was.
Well,
just like Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. But maybe I just don't see it. Not now. Like, I think, like, when, you know, for every generation, there's been the social media that's been the social media of choice. Like, from the advent of the internet, every then social media was sort of like one generation's favorite social media, which started with Facebook. TikTok is the most recent version of that. And I even say to my students, like, so they're doing their TikTok project now to the case study is they're influencers, and they've been hired by Jell-O to promote, to do some fun, have some fun with Jell-O on TikTok. And more of their job posts have TikTok in them now. We want you to do all this communication stuff and TikTok. And I just think it's because, so I can't leave it out of the curriculum. Our college doesn't like it. So I say TikTok or Vimeo or YouTube is what I say. So, like, because there's media production people there too, and so they could choose that if they want to do it. But in the end, TikTok right now is the one that has the cultural zeitgeist, where if like it's what people talk about, it's what people are excited about, what they look at more often. And I have to say, this year's students are far more interested in it than last year's were. And we've got a group of power users. Every time I turn it on, it's just like lots of funny stuff that they're doing. And it's good. It's good for them. Like, because I also think TikTok is a great training ground for shooting anything, shooting film, shooting a film, or shooting. It makes you think about camera angles and lighting. And even if I don't give a crap about camera angles and lighting, it by definition, you learn how that stuff works as you go along.
It's also evolving really interestingly. Like, it's become a platform for news in a way that I never expected. And that's like, again, when I was at CTV, I'm like, why do we have a TikTok account? And it's because they didn't know what to do with it. They had nobody there to take a hold of it and really figure out what to do. But it's like basically repurposing. Now, it is some repurposing of content, like regular TV stories repurposed for TikTok. They're either cropped in so you can only see the middle, like, you know, so they're changing the perspective, or they just straight up just show that across the screen. And there's some for TikTok, you can flip your phone for a lot of videos. You can still watch them full screen. And so that kind of stuff is being repurposed, but also like talk show interviews or interview segments and podcast segments and just news and information in general is very, very popular and gets a lot of play. And so that's one of the reasons why people are so upset, is because they think that it's cutting off their access to the news they want. People do want access to the news, but it's the news they want to follow, and they want to be able to trust their news source. And they think the government's trying to take that away by banning TikTok, basically.
Yeah. But I also think that, like, because we in communications use these platforms for advertising, I think we understand better the data that's out there, the way you target people online using this data, the power of this data. And so I understand why that would be concerning to put that data in the hands of a foreign power or something. But we're talking about dance crazes and stuff, and mostly what the kids are up to. And I don't see like the same style of propaganda that I saw like on Facebook, say, like those Facebook memes that got them out of the news business.
And well, the Cambridge Analytica stuff, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. That was the big one that, I mean, I don't know if anybody got in trouble for that or not. I don't know what happened with that whole thing, but that was a big example everyone talks about as far as like the data leak and selling data to influence an election, specifically to influence an election. That's what they're really worried about.
Right? Yeah, the Mueller report on the election, the Clinton and Trump election, basically chalked up Trump winning to $100,000 in ads on Facebook bought by propaganda bought by the Russian information in quotations in ministry. And those were like beyond boneheaded. Like when you look at the actual propaganda they post there, just complete stupid. Like you have to be an idiot to look at that.
Well, that's what they're targeting, though. They're targeting idiots and that kind of stuff. And I do see some of that, but I see it everywhere. I see it on YouTube. I see it on Facebook. Yeah. It's not just a TikTok thing. It is like these ads are being posted everywhere. The problem, I think, maybe, is that TikTok is so good at making the algorithm match it up with the people is that it's doing too good of a job of matching up these ads with stupid people. So it's doing its job too well.
And that was Facebook too.
Well, that was Facebook, but Facebook you could pay to target. That's the difference, and you can do that, of course, on TikTok as well. The pay to target thing makes it so that you're getting these ads in front of people. I honestly think that this all should lead to more regulation of the advertising industry and of how the way people are allowed to advertise to people. I think that's what's got to happen in Canada, and it's got to happen in the States as well, because there's too much out there and there's too much shit going on. I saw an ad for, I keep seeing this one, it's like an AI voice, and it shows Jagmeet Singh needs 4 more years before he gets his $4 million pension, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's all this kind of right-wing bullshit, but it's like someone made that and put that up on YouTube, and I can see it, and that there's nobody sitting between me and that person. Like, that shouldn't be allowed, because that's not a true statement, right?
But it's...
It's advertising lies.
Well, sure it does, but we can all buy ads to promote ourselves online. And so
ads should be truthful. The law should be the ads should be truthful, right?
Well, that's why Facebook pulled running election ads, was because of that problem. And so a whole category of advertising is gone that used to be there. And that's one way to do it, is by category of advertising. But then there's also, if it's not category of advertising, then it's got to be something else. But the power to promote your own posts and the power on X to have now every verified account on X is bullshit. Yeah. Like that's all the top comments underneath another comment are bullshit. AI, I would also suggest, is destroying vast sections of the internet with crappy advertising, crappy posts, crappy content, video content now, which is showing up more on YouTube, like just a level of crap. Like, what will win on the internet? Is the crap going to win? Because there's always been moments in time where the crap, like even pop-up boxes and,
There's always been like crappy advertising. Yes, you're right.
And even banner ads. But now it's crap in terms of the original content, crap in terms of the advertising, crap in terms of everything, because now it's so easy to generate.
Right.
So you can have a bot generating this stuff all day long if you wanted to.
Yeah. But because of the way it's monetized, because you earn money through impressions and click-throughs and not actually through, you know, sales or whatever that another measurement might be, people will do it just to get those clicks, and just so the clicks are worthless. They don't actually lead to any more sales or any more, you know, things like that. But it's just, a bot who's doing it to get the money. And then people are just throwing their money after, like just wasting their money. I hear so many ads when I'm listening to Spotify. I hear ads aimed at BC and Alberta all the time.
Oh,
because we are in that area of Canada, but I'm like, I'm not going to the BC Monster Truck Show or whatever I heard advertised the other day. It's like, it's some big event happening in Vancouver. I'm not going to that. And it's a wasted impression on me.
Bad targeting.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. And how about the French ads? We get, as Canadians, we get French ads on YouTube because some idiot just chose Canada or whatever.
They're targeting,
they all speak French up there. And it's really like one major province and one part of our province, a small part. Yep. Well, I don't know. Well, I guess debatable how what the size of it is. But there's nothing that I've ever posted online to suggest that that's my preferred language of communication. No. So that has to be
St. Norbert. My girlfriend lives in St. Norbert, and so she gets French ads all the time. Just because it's a St. Norbert, it's a French community. That's all. But that's all right. They're just kind of, and they're throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. So they're just kind of doing as much as possible.
But that's just bad. That's bad. Whoever's doing it is making bad choices in terms of targeting. Yeah. But
that's what I mean. Like if we regulate it, then we can get rid of that stuff and make the advertising landscape better. But this is kind of getting off topic. We're supposed to be talking about TikTok.
But how can you regulate people boosting their own posts?
Well, that's the other thing. So that's not advertising. That's where we need to draw the line. Well, there's some kind of, there needs to be some sort of a difference, because a boosted post is not an ad to me. That's not the same thing.
Well, it's paid for.
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why I don't like using Facebook or Instagram, is because they have throttled their algorithm too much to let me get any interaction from my friends. And so I don't want to go there. And so TikTok is the only one that keeps me engaged, because I do get interaction from my friends. I go back there and it's something new and interesting every day. I just started posting again after having taken a couple weeks off of posting. I wasn't really feeling like posting. I was just kind of feeling down and not interested. And then I just thought of something else. I was having a hard time with my trivia videos, is what happened. I was struggling because I ran out of cards in my game, and I was trying to get ChatGPT to do it, but that was such a pain in the ass and it kept fucking up. And it's like, it does stupid things. Like, it gives you the answer to the question in the question and stuff like that. Like, in the forest, in the movie Forrest Gump, what's the name of the title character? Stupid stuff like that. So it's
that's funny. You should do trivia for idiots, where answer is in the question.
Yeah, it's just ChatGPT. Use ChatGPT, you'll get it. So what I did today, and what I like doing now, I'm going to just make up trivia questions based on things I'm watching. And I'm no longer playing the trivia, is basically the decision I made. I'm going to be putting the trivia out there for other people to play, and I'm just going to give the answers in the videos. So it's a different way of doing it, but I think there's nothing else I can do. I cannot find a good game that will put together three good questions like that. So I had fun. It was good. I made a question up about Magnum PI because I had watched this video the other day about his this episode of Magnum PI.
What was the question?
What role did Tom Selleck turn down, or what had he had to turn down because of the show Magnum PI?
Indiana Jones.
Yes, exactly. I said that I put that as a question because this episode, he's not in it very much in this particular episode. Oh. It's an episode where TC joins bare knuckles boxing ring.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He goes, he's fighting these guys and he's working his way up. It's like Rocky. And Tom Selleck or Magnum's off in Detroit the whole time. And he pops in. So I'm like, was he filming Three Men and a Baby or something at this time?
Of course
time?
He was.
Was something going on there?
Of course he was.
So anyway, I thought that was a funny thing.
Yeah. That's another thing that used to happen on sitcoms, where the guy would take a week off or something. And you have an episode of the sitcom with a guy with a person's name on the sitcom and they wouldn't be in the sitcom.
That's right. Yeah.
It's always funny. Yeah.
But I think that's one of the things that TikTok does really well, is matches up people with different kinds of content. Like, I get this kind of content all the time on TikTok. Yeah. That is retro stuff, TV shows, movies. That is my jam. And I very rarely get into any other stuff. And it really does a good job of keeping it focused. And so it does that for so many people in so many different areas. That's why people love it so much. So TikTok has become way bigger than I ever anticipated it being. Like, come on, this used to be the thing my kids used to dance musically.
Yeah.
And when I first opened up my account, it already had a bunch of videos that my kids had made years ago, and I had to delete them all. I suppose my kids made me delete them all. But that's where it started, and now it's this incredible video sharing app, and it's just, again, it's the algorithm. They've got the algorithm down. They know what they're doing, and everybody else wants that algorithm, and that's why they're being forced to sell this company.
Well, and the algorithm that gives you discovery, which is what the other one. The other ones were built to block anything slightly different or whatever, and this one is built to so you discover it. And I like it when I get I don't want to see every version of a trend, but I'd like to see the best thing that happens in a trend. I'd like to see, there's a couple dancing videos that I've ended up seeing that I thought were great. I was happy I saw them, but I don't want to see every one of them. Like you get that on YouTube, where you go like, oh, what's this? Like that classic. And then for the next 3 weeks, it just keeps feeding you 10,000 videos.
Kind of video. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
where,
yeah.
And you're kind of like, I just wanted to see one song. I want to see the one cover song that this band plays. I don't want to see their entire career laid out before me. So that's what I like about TikTok, that they will give you that stuff that's good to see, that you should see, like, to, and I want to see the ones that you should see to be like, to understand what's going on in an app. And I think some of that stuff has been lost in recent years, where you're like, who's killing it on Facebook, for instance? Like, you don't know who's killing it on Facebook because the algorithm is just kind of, no, you don't like that, so we're not going to show it to you.
Well, I can tell you, for me, as someone who never uses Facebook, it is broken. Like, the algorithm is broken. I would go on there and see maybe a couple things, and then the rest is sponsored ads. And it is, there's a ton of ads for me, because I think because I don't use it. And same thing with Instagram. It's like, I never see, I always say it's from the same people, that the same five or six people that I always see, and then I don't see anything else. And that's what happens on Instagram as well. And it's not fun. So yeah, TikTok is much better. It keeps it different, but also kind of every once in a while brings in stuff you haven't seen in a while. It's kind of like flipping through the TV, right? When you're flipping through the channels and you're looking for something good on, and all of a sudden you'll see something and you watch it. I'm surprised at how much I've gotten used to the 10-minute videos on TikTok. I didn't think I was going to like that, but more and more I find myself watching 10-minute videos on TikTok. They don't put a thing on it, right? So you don't realize it's 10 minutes, but it's like, oh shit, I've been sitting here for a while and I'm watching this. A guy watch episode of videotapes.
We also have to mention that TikTok lost most of its music. Like, all the hip young bands that the kids love have now been yanked from there. Universal Music, among others. But I'm happy to report that all of the bands that I love are mostly still there. And I notice also, so it was irritating. If you look back at your videos, if you use music, it will have muted the video if the music's been taken from TikTok. So I was so I looked at a couple of them, like, what music? And so I noticed Ellie Goulding got taken off one of my videos. But then you can just push this button. They'll go like, well, you can put other music here. So I pushed the button. I was like, Depeche Mode. So you're like, look, added Depeche Mode. So it's easy to put other songs back in there. But the reason I love TikTok in the first place was the music. So I don't know. I don't know how that's likely to change it for people. And I also noticed that TikTok keeps telling me, try to do videos longer than a minute. And though I appreciate what they're trying to do for getting eyeballs, and you saying like, I watch 10 minute videos sometimes, the songs, the longest song you're going to get is 1 minute. So it kind of buries you. If you like the music, it doesn't let you do it. So there's some issues around that lately that I'm not super happy about, but that said, still a fun app. It's still fun and it's still doing it. And maybe they just transition away from music. I don't know.
I was so surprised that move. Cause like, how can you guarantee yourself a number one hit, make it a TikTok song it's going to be a fucking hit. Like why would you take your music off of that app? I don't understand that at all. That's just a wrongheaded move.
Well, it's an old school, movie or like a music studio, like Universal. Like it's once again, like traditional media going, well, we're going to do this. Then
bad, you can't have it. And we're going to protect our content. And everyone else is going to go, all right, you have it. Right. We're going to go keep doing what we're doing. We don't care. We'll find other music.
It's like the paper going, we're putting up a paywall. And then nobody ever reads it again.
That's exactly what happened.
That's right. So fine. Okay. We're going to pull our music. Fine. Nobody's going to play it again. Well, I will, because I still buy albums, but I'm older. I'm the last generation that's buying albums. So you better find some other way to get music that people love and get them, like on TikTok, if people could just click on it and buy the song, for instance, like you got it made. I think there's opportunity, and like not to mention merch maybe as well. Like there's something that every musician could do on there, and that's sell merch.
The thing that drives me nuts about the songs, and yeah, I do frequently, like, it does say that to me, and then every time I post a video that's longer than a minute, it gets not nowhere near as many views, because the shorter videos get more views in my TikToks, yes. Anyway. Like, my little short 15-second Walmart bin videos are regularly, like, 6,000 views or something like that, and the longer ones are, like, a couple hundred, maybe. Yeah. But when it does that, and I do want to use the music, that what drives me nuts is that it just cuts off, and there's no way to fade it out or anything like that. Just, like, all of a sudden it's going and it's nothing and it sounds awful. But yeah, if they gave you like the full version of the song and just automatically shortened it to however long the video was, that's all you would need to do, right? It would be like an automatic thing and you would just upload the song and have it there. I also hate that they took away the little volume indicator. They took away the numbers on it. So I used to be able to know, like when you adjust the volume, I always have to bring my volume down.
Oh.
When I'm doing, like, I usually use music when I'm doing a movie review and I want some background music that kind of goes with the music, a movie, and I try and pick a song that has to do with the movie. So I bring it down to a certain level so you can still hear my voice, but you can still hear the music underneath. And it used to be like 10, 9, 8. I used to see the actual thing. And my thumb is so fucking fat that I can't see the button after I put it down on the screen. Okay. So I'm going by the number is how I'm looking to see when the volume is at right. And I can't see that anymore. Now they took that away. So now I have to just kind of guess. And it sucks. I hate the volume on that thing.
But
that's
again,
these little nitpicks are nothing. They'll fix that eventually, but it's still a fun thing to do. Well, but the music is clumsy. I agree. That music problem, I don't know. And I don't get why they would do that.
I also noticed on the volume, the same issue you talked about, the volume you hear as a creator is not the same as the volume that comes out when you hit post.
Yeah, so sometimes it's blasting super loud.
Yeah, what sounds great to you, you spend all the time on the settings, and then you go post, and it's completely discombobulated. So sometimes you can't hear your voice, and you can't get the video back once you've posted it. Like, it'll save a copy of the video with the watermark on it, but you can't. All of the shots that you made to put it together at that point are gone. Yeah. So that's also very irritating. There's still things that need to be fixed, but, you know, all things considered, it's the one the kids are using, and that means it'll have the longest, you know, or the most longevity, and certainly Snapchat, as far as I know, isn't really on anybody's radar anymore. Like,
kids thing, right? It's high school students
disappearing messages is what it's for.
Teenagers love that. They love to be anonymous, and I understand that. But I think it's more than just the kids. I think that everybody is using TikTok. We're using TikTok. We are middle-aged men using
That's
TikTok.
Right.
And there's a lot of older people using it. Pretty much all of my friends on TikTok are the same age as me.
Yeah.
So that just shows that, you know, there's a lot of older people. So this matters. And I think that it's funny. I think the U.S. Congress just shot itself in the foot with this whole thing, because it's pissing off a whole bunch of people when it doesn't need to piss them off. And they should be worried about way bigger things right now. Like, this is not the thing they should be focused on. And so they're going to lose a lot of faith, a lot of public faith in this because of all this bullshit. They're like, guys, we don't want this. And 6 months from now is right when the election's going to be freaking ramping up. So they're definitely going to want TikTok around then. But I mean, certain people don't want TikTok around then, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a big mess.
They always want a boogeyman to scare people with. Except the actual boogeyman, who is Donald Trump. And that's not the boogeyman we want you to concentrate on. We concentrate on this dance app. You know, it's I think in the overall scheme of things, I mean, okay, like maybe there's some data there that, I don't know, you tell me. I don't see data there that I think is, like, maybe location data. Like, I see there is like what I see everywhere, which is it's mostly useful for marketing purposes than anything. But
yeah, they say it can be used to influence somehow. Like, again, if they're talking about the same way it was done during that last election, that's not going to happen like that again. And but I definitely don't think it's going to be banned. I think this is another false alarm, and that at some point they're going to. Some company, maybe not an American company, maybe some other company will come in and buy it, and then everyone will be fine with it, and then they'll forget about it. And then in a couple of years, TikTok is going to crash, and everyone's going to be on to the next thing, because there will be another thing, and there's always going to be something new.
Yeah.
Right? So,
I think so. It's an interesting thing. It'd be interesting if Americans had to travel to Canada to use TikTok. That'd be funny. We'd have to do a cross cultural.
What's the reason for your trip, sir? Want to post TikTok?
we'll give you our TikTok if you give us your chocolate bars, or whatever. What do people go down there to buy now? I'm sure there's still stuff.
Chris Shiffin would go down there to buy cereal. Oh, yeah. He loved the American cereals. Yeah, and they have much sugarier cereal than we do. Yeah. And also way more choices of soda than we have.
Yeah.
So
cheaper soda.
Yes.
And yeah, that's they true. Got 25-cent soda in the parking lot of a Target or whatever, that which was always like I'm buying it in the middle of winter. I'm buying 25-cent soda in the middle of a parking lot. But yeah, so we can do some cross-cultural exchange like that where we'll let them use it. They get the Super Bowl ads. I know.
Yeah, there we go.
We can do. For one day a year, we get the Super Bowl ads. They get to use TikTok for one day a year.
And it'll be funny if it does end up happening and they do get banned and TikTok goes on without the Americans and they're all like, what? Because they think basically it's going to be the end of TikTok. They think if they leave, if the Americans leave, then nobody else is going to use that app. I'm like, I'm sorry. There's a whole other world out there and everyone's using it still. We're not going to care that the Americans
That means there's more. There's more leverage for us then.
I think it'll be overall a more positive place.
It'll be us. It'll be the Norwegians.
Right. The French.
Right. The French. Yeah. There'll be some, I don't know. They'll be selling their baguettes on there. You know, there's going to be, I actually think it could be a refreshing change of pace if that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always good. Like a change is good, I think. And so people, I don't know. We'll see what happens. My prediction is that it's going to get purchased by an American company, but we'll see.
But they just said they have to divest ByteDance, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So all they have to do is set up an American version of the corporation, probably, and everybody will say, it's a big victory. Look, we stood up to them, and it will really be the same thing.
And everything's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but we'll check in. We'll keep our eye on it and see what else is coming with that. Let's do some recommendations to wrap up the show.
All right, you go first.
I have been watching. So I watched. I finally watched Oppenheimer like last month. Did you watch the Oscars, by the way?
I watched them and loved them, and I just watched Oppenheimer yesterday. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, I wasn't going to recommend Oppenheimer actually. What I would say is that I liked it, but I like Fat Man and Little Boy better. I think Fat Man and Little Boy is a better movie. But what it did get me on was this Cold War kick. So I started watching a documentary series on Netflix. That's what I want to recommend. It's called Turning Point, The Cold War. And it is a in-depth documentary about the full Cold War from the invention of the atomic bomb until the collapse of the Soviet Union. But it also is talking about the new Cold War, which is basically happening now between the Soviet Union and the US and Vladimir Putin and everything he's doing, invading Ukraine. And it's tying in all these modern parts of it. Like the beginning of every episode is like a little mini report on what's happening in the war in Ukraine, what Russia's doing. And it's all happening now. It's all modern stuff. And then they go back to 1950s and they talk about the Red Scare and they talk about McCarthy and all that stuff. And it's super interesting. And I'm learning, like I've been interested in the Cold War pretty much my whole life. And I've been learning new stuff from this. Like it's some really interesting fact. It's structured in an interesting way. And I've not binged anything for a long time. I'm not really a binger, but I've been binging this.
Wow.
So it's really interesting. I really find it to be, and they're talking to everybody. It's got great interviews, like really high level people. They had this guy who was part of the doomsday think tank in the 50s, like trying to come up with a doomsday machine. And he's basically like, yeah, Dr. Strangelove was a documentary. All that could have happened. That was totally accurate. And it's just like, oh, that's so scary.
Even the guy writing the bomb down, with a cowboy hat on.
Yeah. Slim Pickens. I mean, it's like, but the whole thing about a general could have the power to launch a nuclear weapon. That was possible. That's what he was trying to say. Right. And so, this series is really good. It's been good. Quickly, what did you think of Oppenheimer?
Well, this might as well be my recommendation. Although what I'm going to recommend, it's interesting. In the last week, so at pre and post Oscars, I always try to play catch up and I never quite get there, but I watched The Holdovers, Anatomy of a Fall, and Oppenheimer in a row.
Oh.
So they're all fresh in my mind. I enjoyed the Oscars very much, though there was one little Anatomy of a Fall spoiler in the Oscars. It wasn't, or two, I should say. It didn't ruin the movie for me by any stretch, but I kind of wished I wouldn't have heard that those things before I watched it. But I have to say, my least favorite of the three was Oppenheimer. The best picture. Which, and by the way, I liked Oppenheimer. I liked it. I just didn't, like, when it was over, I thought, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. I was sort of waiting for the thing that everybody loved about it. And I sort of didn't get it, but with the holdovers, I got it. And with Anatomy of a Fall, I got it. Where the okay. to me, the holdovers was just, have you seen the holdovers?
No.
Just, it's Paul Giamatti. So you're just, oh, you coast through that movie and it's fun and he's funny and it's just, you're just enjoying. It's like they even make it look like an 80s film the way they do it.
Yeah.
And so it's just easy to watch. It's just a fun romp, but with, you know, fun, but some other heavy stuff happens. But Anatomy of a Fall is one that haunts your dreams after you've seen it, where you're like, what was that? What's going on? Like it gets to you psychologically, and it's on purposely it gets to you psychologically. And so I love both of those. And Oppenheimer, I just felt it's a well-told story that just, I'll never watch it again. I get it. I maybe because I saw Fat Man and Little Boy, I'm good. But it just didn't, to me, I was waiting, like, Christopher Nolan is a genius. He's going to upend everything. I'm not going to believe what I'm seeing. And like, the only thing that really did that for me was seeing Robert Downey Jr. As an age appropriate man.
That's a good way of putting it. Well, that was the thing. That was the thing that everybody, I think, was talking about. That was the one, like, the best part of the movie was RDJ. I think this was him saying, hey, I'm not Tony Stark anymore. I'm going to actually do some serious roles. And he nailed it, and he won the Oscar for it, and that's perfect. But the rest of it, I thought it was so funny. Like, it was like, it reminded me of JFK in a lot of ways, because of all the people that kept popping up, all the familiar faces. Like, Rami Malek shows up, and he doesn't have any lines in the first couple of scenes he's in. I'm like, who is he? Yeah. And then he turns up to be the super important guy later on. And they're like, whoa, like, all these kind of actors you recognize from other places, it kind of takes you out of it. But it was, there was nothing special. It was, again, a well-told story. I understood more about what happened to Oppenheimer. Like, I didn't really understand before.
Yeah.
They don't really get into that in Fat Man and Little Boy as far as what happened to him afterwards. But they get into that and they explain that, and that was good and it was interesting, but it was not, like, super compelling and super mind-blowingly amazing. It's no Interstellar. It's no Inception. Those are movies that he really, really changed things, right?
Well, people were talking about Oppenheimer like it was mind-blowing in the same way they were talking about Barbie like it was mind-blowing.
That was just because it came out on the same day.
Right. Yeah, right. But there was no – I heard no dissatisfaction. It was all like, oh, they're all mind-blowing. It'll rock your – both of them will rock your – and I was disappointed – like, I shouldn't say disappointed. I was disappointed with Barbie, and with Oppenheimer, I just – if people would have just said, that's a good sort of well-told story, and I would have seen it. I would have gone, yeah, that's exactly what it is. But it's not like I was thinking the camera's gonna spin through atoms, and we're gonna see nuclear fission in a way we've never seen it.
Well,
we're gonna see
it's all CGI, so who cares what we see? Like, that kind of stuff doesn't matter.
Well, I thought maybe Christopher Nolan will know how to do it. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it in a way. And oh, not really. And even and it must also be said that Cillian Murphy in the main role does a good job of playing a guy with no personality, pretty much.
Yeah, because he doesn't. He doesn't have a personality, really. Right?
Right. He is his business.
Yeah. And, so.
Yeah, but so I thought it was interesting. I still got some to see, but and all of the ones I've seen have been good. Except Barbie, which I just don't think that's a good movie. I think it's safe to say that now. I don't think anyone's going to attack
it. No one's going to come after you.
But
for
I think
that.
All of the other ones I think I've seen, I've enjoyed. But that's the only one where I thought, what's going on?
I was going to do a big thing about, here's my Oscar picks, having seen almost none of the movies. Because I saw Naiad and I saw something else. I can't remember what else. But I saw almost none. What?
Did you see Spider-Verse?
No. Oh, yeah. Across the Spider-Verse I did see. Yes.
That didn't win. It did not. No. That was one of the upsets. The Boy and the Heron.
Well, that makes sense, though. That's a Ghibli film, and that's the final Ghibli film, so that's going to win. That makes sense. So, but that should have won. Like, Across the Spider-Verse, although I didn't like Across the Spider-Verse as much as the last one. I didn't think it was as good as the first one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree. But I mean, I still enjoyed it. But, well, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll leave it at that. But I have a problem with the endings of some movies, and that's one of them.
I'll tell you this before we go. We should wrap it up. But I went to the movie theater last week. I took the kids to see Kung Fu Panda 4. The fourth installment in the series. And this is one that my kids really like. They grew up with this. They watched these movies. They said it was good. I thought it was exactly what you would expect it to be. Very basic and seems like a kind of a cookie cutter formula that Hollywood is doing with these movies. And what's her name? Awkwafina is the same character. She plays the same character in every single movie.
Yeah,
like, yes, it's just she's doing that same bit. And it's getting a bit old now. So even as an animated fox, it doesn't work. It only worked in like Crazy Rich Asians movie where people really liked
but
it.
But you're right. We have seen that character a number of times now.
Yeah.
It's like William H. Macy, if he played Jerry Lundegaard in every film, we kind of be like, oh, I think we've seen a lot of Jerry Lundegaard at this point. So I think maybe it's time to do a serious flick or something, or change it up. Yeah. Flip the script on that character. So I'm surprised you went to see that in the theater, but the kids.
Well, they want to see it. Well, to be honest, there's nothing like when I look at the theater, what's being released, I get emails every week from Cineplex, like advertising the movies, and none of it looks good. None of it looks like something I would want to see in the theater. And that is the question people are asking themselves. Do I want to see this in the theater? And the answer is no, because they can wait a few more months and see it at home. And I notice how much walking I have to do in there too. You walk in and you walk up to the thing and you walk through this big hallway to the theater person who takes your ticket, and you walk through the big, like, it's all these really, what's walking all over the place. I'm like, can't we just walk into the theater? Like, it's very much, I don't know, it's not a good experience. So
no, you're right. There's no ushers anymore. There's nothing. It's lawless when you go there now.
Actually, I would prefer, no, there are ushers. I would prefer there not be ushers. Well, there's still people taking your tickets and stuff, yes, and cleaning the theaters.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, tell people to shut up, ushers. Like, tell people to put their feet down, ushers.
Yeah, those, but the good news is they put the seats so far apart, you don't see any. You don't worry about that.
They play the music so loud that if somebody's talking, you can't hear it.
Well, that was, okay, yeah, that's the thing that happened at the beginning of the movie. You go in there and they've got the lights up, and the lights are super bright in these new theaters. Yeah. This is the Cineplex Junction over at KP. I swear, these floodlights are shining directly into my eyes, like brightly into my eyes. And they've got these brightly lit stars on the walls, and that's how it's lit. And so then the commercials come up and they start playing ads, and then the lights are still up. I'm like, okay, they're fine. They're leaving the lights up while the ads play. That's fine. And then the previews and the lights are still up. Then the movie starts and the lights are still up. And I'm like, well, they forgot to turn off the lights. And Shannon's like, my daughter's like, no. Don't, she's always constantly in fear of being embarrassed by me. And I'm gonna go say something.
Yeah, you gotta tell them.
I gotta go say something, because I'm not watching the movie like this. And I went down the stairs and I'm walking across the theater. And just as I get the halfway mark, the lights go down. And it was like somebody just remembered to flick the switch and the lights turned off. So, but that kind of stuff is happening all the time because there's not enough people working there. Nope. And I think it's all automated now. I think all this stuff is being done like from somewhere else or being done by AI. So, anyway.
It's not even the actual movie that you saw. it was an AI version.
That's right. Anyway.
Some guy was projecting his phone onto the thing.
Okay. Anything else before we wrap up?
I think that's good.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Media Nerds. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.